We return one last time this morning to John chapter 5 in order that I might satisfy the gnaw in my soul to fuss a little more about verse 39. John 5 and 39. That fuss in my soul has to do with the great contrast between what I read in the Bible and what I see in people's lives. It's amazing to me in society how many people think they're okay, when I know with an open Bible that they are not okay. It is humbling to me how many Christian people think themselves to be okay, when I know with an open Bible that an awful lot of God's people are phony baloney if they're God's people at all. These are days with an open Bible that will absolutely shock you. And I believe that we are right this morning to spend a little time longer fussing over the basic concept that is found in John chapter 5 and verse 39. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Father, this morning we thank you for a sure word from above. And we pray that by the Spirit's work today, that we would be able to distinguish in our own hearts and our own minds the difference between the many, 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 many words that we've seen and read and heard this past week and this word from God. We pray specifically that the Spirit of discernment, which is the Holy Spirit, would take a hold of our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and allow us today to enter into the penetrating embrace of this great statement of our Lord Jesus while on this planet. We note sadly that our day is much like his day. And we pray today that you would give us gospel clarity for the saving of the soul. We pray that you would give us gospel clarity for the advance of the saved soul in the things of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen. Having a bad case of athlete's foot doesn't make you an athlete. Neither does parking yourself in the garage make you a motor vehicle. Just because you're surrounded by a thing doesn't mean that the definition of that thing fits you. Likewise, being religious or being called Christian, going to church, and even reading the Bible doesn't make you right with God. Before leaving this fifth chapter of John, we return to this word from Jesus Christ to men who obviously were not right with God. We want to fuss a little over this verse because I think it's important for us to expose the pattern of their religious unbelief. For indeed, as we've said and now prayed, it is characteristic of our own times. The word "search" in verse 39 has captured my attention, and I would, by the grace of God, that it would capture yours. Grammatically speaking, that original word has, as previously taught to you, has a meaning. And that meaning, in this case, can be understood as imperative, or it can be understood as indicative. The Lord Jesus was saying in verse 39 both what is imperative, in other words, do search, and what Jesus was saying in verse 39 was, of course, indicative, meaning they did search. Jesus is talking to people who, as a matter of like practice, did search the Scripture. And he says to those who did search the Scripture, "Search the Scripture," an imperative. And you want to say to it, "Duh, I'm already doing it. We're already doing it." But that same word, search, in the Bible is used to speak of God's searching of human hearts. And that very same word, search, is used in the Bible to speak of Old Testament prophets searching their own inspired writings concerning the prophetic revelation of Messiah's suffering and glory. 1 Peter 1:11. It is immediately clear, as we pick up the context of John chapter 5, that the religious leaders of Jesus' day, as addressed on this day of record, were not doing what the Old Testament prophets did do. The Old Testament prophets, even when they wrote down the Word of God, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, they searched the Scriptures, particularly interested to find that unique connection between the statement of the prophetic in written form and the reality of God's promise. And yet these individuals, who likewise are searching the Scriptures, are not connecting it to the reality of God, nor much less the person of Jesus Christ. That's why when I studied this word search, I found it very helpful to me in light of the background that I have and the family in which I grew up, to find out that the Bible word search here in John 5:39 is used outside the Bible to speak of hunting and tracking game. The word search here means to hunt. So you could translate it that way. Hunt the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And that thought would be correct, of course. You do have eternal life in the Scriptures. Jesus went on to say, and they are they. The Scriptures particularly are those things that testify or witness of, capital M, me, Jesus Christ. I have a boyhood memory of being with my grandfather and tracking, as it were, a blood trail through the woods into the night after a hunter had wounded a buck during bow season. That nighttime woods was full of shadows and sounds, easy to distract a young boy, but my grandfather kept me looking down to the blood trail, following the blood trail until we found that buck. That same idea of head down, looking to the trail, head down, chasing the thing that's there, as opposed to being caught up in the woods, especially a dark woods, really fits and depicts beautifully, in my mind, this idea of searching the Scripture. In a way similar to that, there is a blood trail in the Scripture that will keep you focused upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. It is clear to us that the Lord Jesus viewed the hunt of the religious leaders of his day in the Scriptures as terribly unsuccessful. They are told in verse 39 and thereafter that they were not successful hunters. Search the Scriptures. They were doing that. Search the Scriptures. They were not doing that. They had a good thought that the Scriptures indeed yield the information necessary for eternal life. That would be true. And yet, they resisted the truth that Jesus was the object or the subject of the Scriptures. There was an unholy disconnect between their disciplined effort and their spiritual reality with God. As now my dead buddy Warren Wiersbe said it, they knew the Word of God, but they did not know the God of the Word. The question is why? And this morning I'd like to answer that question in hunting terms, in a fourfold way. Why were these hunters in the Scriptures? Why were they spiritually unsuccessful? Number one, they forgot the object of their hunting. Every hunter can tell you that it is important to keep in mind the creature you seek. If you are after deer, you must learn the ways of a deer. You must become aware of their daily feeding patterns and their movements. You must learn to reduce noise. And you must learn to reduce the scent of self. You must not allow yourself to become distracted by other things in the woods. I remember back in the days in the family that I grew up of a man that was hunting deer who became bored on opening day and started to shoot off limbs of a tree. He shot off limbs of the tree all morning, went back to the cabin for lunch, went back out in the afternoon and shot limbs off the tree in the afternoon. Came back to the cabin for supper. Would you be surprised if I told you he didn't see a deer? I'm afraid a lot of Christians are limb shooters. I'm afraid of some of you as shooting off the limbs of a tree and not engaged in the hunt, missing the object of the hunt, the purpose of the hunt, which is Christ. I suppose it's okay for an old man. I've thought about it myself during these days, in which now has been years since I've done any hunting at all. I suppose it's okay, it's reasonably okay to say, well, I'll put a shell in the gun and I'll buy a license, I'll go out in the woods and sit there, but I don't care if I get a deer or not. I just want to go out in the woods. Well, I would say to you, stupid financial investment, why buy a license? You can go out in the woods to hunt deer right now like that. You don't need to shoot anything. Just go out and sit in the woods. It didn't cost you anything if all you're interested in is a little peace and quiet. No, if you're going to be a deer hunter, then I suggest you hunt deer. And if you're going to be a Christian, I suggest you hunt Christ. Because he is the point of it. He is the point of it. Jesus made it clear, as recorded in verse 39, that he was the object to be sought in the woods of God's holy writ. I think of all the people over my adult lifetime that have said to me, I go to the Bible and I don't get anything out of it, just like a man that goes in the woods and doesn't see anything. The problem is exactly the same. You have to have in mind the purpose in which you go to the woods. The purpose of Bible study then and now is God. I like the way the Bible Knowledge Commentary says it. It says, quote, many people even today think that Bible study is an end in itself rather than a function leading to the knowledge of God and his ways, end quote. Religious unbelief is evident when people possess a desire to know it, but have no great desire to know him. Knowing about God is sufficient for most people, but knowing God is the reason the written word of God exists. The Bible does not exist so that you and I can just know about God. The Word of God written exists so that we can know God, the living Word, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ clarified the problem and their false sense of pursuit of the object, the true object of the Scriptures in this text, when he gives indication that the religious of his day were not willing to come to him. They preferred shooting the limbs off trees. And you can hardly call that hunting. Now, I don't know if the hunting thing speaks to you in the same way that it speaks to me, because that was such a concerted part of my life as a boy growing up here in Michigan before the call of God took me on to other things and energies in ways that has not allowed those kind of experiences. But believe me that there is indeed a spiritual application to almost everything that hunters do. If you really desire God, you need to spend some considerable time in the woods. There aren't too many deer, large bucks that are taken from a lazy boy chair. In fact, that's what Proverbs says about hunting, that the lazy don't get anything. That'd be true. And there's a lot of applications that could be said about that. But nonetheless, if you're going to desire God, you need to spend some time in God's woods, the Word of God. You need to think about noise reduction. How many hundreds of times since I've been here have I told some of you individually, and at least four or five times corporately, the Howard Keithley story? I'm a boy. I'm growing up here in Michigan. And my parents on a rare Sunday said, oh, we'll take the speaker. Nobody else volunteered, so they said they would. And so the speaker came to our house for dinner. And the speaker that came to our house for dinner was named Dr. Howard Keithley. And as he said in my boyhood living room area, and he looked around the house, he saw antlers on the wall, and he saw my bufflehead duck mounted and out there on the sun porch. And he said to me as a young boy, Timothy, you obviously are being raised in a hunting family. And I said, yes, sir. He said, you know that hunting and studying God's word are almost exactly the same. I said, yes, sir. He said, you know, if you go out in the woods and you make a lot of noise, he didn't say it, but I'll add it, if you shoot limbs off trees, you're not going to get anything. What is the first rule of hunting in the woods? Answer, get quiet. Now, some of you will have a hard time believing that I believe seriously in getting quiet. But I tell you that noise reduction is an issue for hunters, and noise reduction is an issue for walking with God. Oh, the noise. This past week, in the life of some of our people, and this noise they can't help. Some of our people have noise of a medical condition that just would grip the heart and mind and absolutely dominate everything that's going on in the context of all of life. Some among us are having the noise of a big move, and it's hard to think about anything when you're moving all your earthly goods. Especially hard to think about God concretely, because even when you're sitting down, you start thinking, well, we could do this, we could do that, we could go here, we have to get this, we have to get that. Oh, I tell you, when you're living in an unsettled and noisy state, it's hard to walk with God. But you must. Likewise, in my recent experience, when you're there on the beach and the sun is shining, you have every excuse in the world to just take in the beauty and the breezes. Oh, that you would remind yourself, you must on that beach walk with God. I tell you that noise reduction, whether it's a debilitating disease or whether it's a move, or whether it's a beach, I tell you that noise reduction is imperative. And that's why I see so many parallels between the hunter's life and this idea of searching the scriptures and hearing the scriptures as they testify of us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, hunters in our modern day, it's amazing the products that they developed. We never paid a whole lot of attention to scent. We were grubby enough and dirty enough that we pretty much smelled like the woods to begin with. But in our day, with all kinds of colognes and all kinds of fancy stuff, they literally sell stuff in a bottle that you produce every day on your own. But nonetheless, they sell this stuff in a bottle that you can squirt on your clothes. Now, this is gross stuff. I'm not going to describe it any more than saying squirt on your clothes. But if you knew what you were squirting on your clothes as a hunter to go out in the woods today, you'd just be aghast. But I'm telling you that modern day hunters especially, they are very, very interested in eliminating, ready? They're interested in eliminating, ready? They're interested in eliminating the scent of self. Because they know that if you're being smelled in the woods, it's not going to be a good hunting day. Same thing's true at worship. if the smell of you, if the smell of me is in the woods, there's not going to be much sweet fragrance of Christ among us. And so I just tell you, there's a lot of parallels, you know. Considerable time in the woods, pay attention to noise reduction, eliminate the scent of self. Above all these things, you must keep yourself fixed on the object of the hunt. The object of opening the Bible and reading it, the object of studying the Bible, the object of taking time on a beautiful day when there's a lot of things we could do. Would this be a good day for golf, Phil? Yes or no? Yes, it would. But here we are. Would this be a good day to be out on the lake on a boat? Yes. But here you are. Would this be a good day to be at the beach? Yes. But here we are. Isn't there a bazillion things you can think of that we could do? And if we were honest, our minds would cause us to think maybe we ought to be doing them today. Because it's likely to rain on other days. Why are you here? God help you if you came to see me. That wears thin in a hurry. God help me if I came to see you. That wears thin in a hurry. There's only one reason to read the Bible. Only one reason to study the Bible. Only one reason to attend faithfully a local church. Be involved in the educational hour. Be involved in the morning service. Come back at night when there is a night. Not like tonight. And be involved on Wednesday night. Not like this week. There is none. But nonetheless, be involved. Be involved. Why? Answer. Christ. He's the only reason. And apart from that reason, no local church makes any sense. Remember the object of the hunt. The religious leaders, long, long before they had this encounter with the Lord Jesus, had given up on their heartfelt search for God, even though Jesus had said to them in the previous generation, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Why were these hunters unsuccessful? First thing we've said is they forgot the object of their hunt. Second thing, they were distracted by other hunters. Religious unbelief is evident where people place undue stress upon the commentators and the words of other people, other Christians. In verse 43, Jesus exposes the fact that his religious accusers were accepting and approving each other while indeed rejecting him. 43, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that those individuals to whom he was speaking, that their focus was this way, horizontal, not this way, vertical. Jesus is saying, one has come to you out of heaven and you don't receive him. On the other hand, if someone come to you from your own, if someone come to you of your own sphere, then that person you receive. In other words, you are horizontally dominated and vertically challenged in your soul. Jesus had come in the name of God as revealed to Moses at the burning bush. Yet he was not welcomed or received by these religionists. The religionists then and now live for a good debate. They live for a new insight. They live to hear something new. The religionist quotes and studies other religionists. Like the hunter that stays in the cabin in order to hear great hunting stories, but never actually goes out hunting. So the religionist gladly listens to the religionist, but fails to hunt. I remember one frosty November morning on opening day, that'd be the 15th of November in Michigan. I remember one frosty morning, my grandfather decided to stay back in the cabin with one of his friends. My uncle asked my grandfather if he could hunt in the little shack, the little blind, where my grandfather always did hunt. My grandfather said, sure. That morning, my Uncle David took the largest buck ever taken off my grandfather's property. Now you could say, well, that buck should have belonged to my grandfather. Yeah, but he decided to stay back at the cabin with his friend. Beloved, you may well be missing Christ because of all the Christians that you listen to. Christians are inconsistent in what they say and in what they do. If you are unduly fixed on the words and the deeds of Christians, you are likely to miss the blessedness of Christ. I've never lived in an area where that problem is as great as it is right here in Western Michigan. I'm just saying. God's people all know about what they're doing over at this church and that church and where they're going here and they're going there, and they did and we did and they went and we went. Oh, they know all kinds of things. But they don't know Christ. I'm reminded of when I finished my freshman year of Bible college. I needed a job bad, really bad. And it was the year in the 70s when the gas lines out the gas pump went down the block and around the corner. Remember those days when you had to stand in line for gas and hope that they still had something to sell you when you got up there to the pumps? Back in those glorious days, I came home from my freshman year of Bible college and I needed a job bad. And everywhere I went, they said the same thing: nobody's hiring. Eventually, I ran into a farmer friend of my grandfather. His name was Walt. He was a county commissioner. And he said to me, you need a job, kid? I said, yes, sir. He said, go to the county road commission and tell them that I sent you. Okay. So I went to the county road commission and I walked in there and they had a woman that was there, and she had glasses about as thick as two Coke bottles. And she was sitting there behind the desk and she had her glasses at the end of her nose. She said, can I help you? And I said, I came here because I was told that I might get a job. She said, well, I don't know who you're talking to, but there's no jobs around here, and you're just wasting your time around here looking for a job. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I guess, and I named the guy, I guess that Walt was wrong. And she said to me, what did you say? And I said, I guess that Walt was wrong. She said, oh, Walt told you to come here? Yes, ma'am. Walt told you we'd have a job for you? Yes, ma'am. Well then, opened up the door, brought me in. Let me introduce you to the foreman. That day I learned a great spiritual lesson, and that is, in life, it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. Same's true for heaven. Not about what you know. About who you know. Do you know Christ himself, yourself? That's what I'm talking about. Are you growing in Christ himself, yourself? That's what I'm talking about this morning. Because it's real easy to get caught up in the woods shooting limbs off trees and think that you're hunting, when indeed you're not hunting at all. It's amazing to me how many times I have the thought that people that profess around me to be Christians are somehow missing the blessedness of Jesus Christ. Listen, you don't have to miss him. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to be on the outside looking in. You can be connected to Christ himself. And it can be real for you. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Number three, why were they unsuccessful? They were motivated by hunting equipment. There are people that never have and never will hunt. Yet, they shop Cabela's. You know what I mean? They buy hunting clothes and hunting gadgets because They like the look. I know many people that own guns and never shot one. I know people with a four-wheel drive vehicle that have never driven off a curb, let alone off-road. I know people that wear Detroit Lions uniforms that never have watched a Lions football game. I'm telling you, we live in a phony baloney world where people buy things and present themselves in ways that are absolutely untrue to the thing in which they demonstrate. People identify with things because of attention and because of glory that they might get from other people. When others say, man, you got a four-wheeler? Cool. Man, you look good in that blue and silver. Way to go. And for the sake of a thumbs up, while walking across the street, some people would wear a Lions uniform. Well, I tell you, they've just never paid the high cost that I paid when I'm wearing a Detroit Lions uniform in Iowa. And I'm wearing a Detroit Lions uniform in Florida and living there. And I'm wearing a Detroit Lions uniform in Ohio. I'm telling you, that takes guts. That takes courage. But I really am a fan. And I do really watch the games. Although I'd never wear a uniform with somebody else's name on it. The reality is, not much reality among the people of God in our day. Jesus told these religionists, verse 44, that they sought glory from each other, but not from God. How can ye believe, said Jesus to those individuals, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God? The word honor being doxa, from which we get our song, doxology. Jesus said that these individuals were seeking the praise and the glory of men, not the praise and the glory of God. They were seeking the approval and glory of men, which is a deterrent to actual faith and confidence in the Lord. Jesus said people who need the approval and the glory of people are locked in on belief. Think about that. Jesus says that people who need the approval and the glory of other people are locked in on belief. It's always a little shocking to me to see the number of people that want to be known as Christian and want to be known as good church members that bear no evidence of real life with God. This problem is big and the implications very serious. Lastly this morning, why were these hunters unsuccessful? Fourth thing, they planned to buy food after hunting anyway. When Jesus said the religionists trusted in Moses, verse 45, he did not mean that they believed correctly in Moses. In fact, the main point of 45 to 47 is that believing Moses correctly leads a person to faith in Jesus Christ. The word trust in verse 45, ye trust Moses, Jesus said to those religionists, is also translated most usually in the Bible by the word hope. The religionists set their hope in the things that Moses wrote as to rules and regulations. They did not indeed believe Moses. They believed in Moses' rules. If they actually had believed Moses, they would have received the Christ. They would have received the Messiah. They ended up where all religionists end up, religionists all, regardless of Eastern variety or Western variety bent, believe that salvation comes by rule keeping, that progression before the Lord comes by keeping the rules. You get to heaven the old-fashioned way, you earn it, which is a complete satanic assault against the purity of the gospel that we preach. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We know that this is one of the most popular lies of our entire generation. In fact, it's the lie that is told again and again in every generation. The lie that you are good enough. The lie that you can make some changes. The lie that you can improve yourself. The largest section in most bookstores is the self-help section. But nobody has ever been right with God by self-help. If you are going to be right with God, you must receive the help that comes from God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people say, whenever the fish weren't known to be biting. Have that picture in your mind? Not a good day for fishing, but a bad day for fishing. Whenever the fish weren't known to be biting, my family and I, as a boy, would go to Caseville to fish. Now, we didn't go because it was a bad day for fishing. It just happened to be the only day we had off, and so that's the day we were going to go fishing, but it happened to be a bad day for fishing. Whenever we had a bad day for fishing, we always went to Caseville to fish. The reason we went at all on a bad day for fishing has to do with the old saying, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. Right, Herschel? bad day fishing is always a good day, even if you don't catch a whole lot. But nonetheless, that's the reason we went at all, was because we like fishing. We like to be out there. Better if we caught fish. But the reason we went to Caseville, the reason my boyhood family went to Caseville on such a day that we knew, in all likelihood, we wouldn't catch very much, was because on the way home from Caseville, there was a fresh fish store in Bayport. No fish, no problem. My grandfather would tell my grandma when we got ready for the day, get the stuff ready, we're going to have a fish fry tonight. He never said, if we catch fish, we'll have a fish fry. Now, if we caught fish, those are the fish we'd eat. But if we didn't catch fish, didn't matter to Grandma Teal. She got everything ready because the truth is we would have fish at the end of the day because if we didn't catch them, we would, at the last minute before arriving back home, buy some. Likewise, the religionist never panics over the fact that there is no reality of God in his life. Why? Because he thinks that somehow before the Lord comes or before he dies, he can find a way to buy in. I am compelled to tell you this morning that that man's fish won't fry. His plan will not work. In the coming day, a man can stand okay only on the merits of Jesus Christ. And that's why all hunting, all Bible reading, all Bible study, all Bible worship, all Bible ministry is ultimately focused upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And if it isn't, then it isn't any good. And what I just said to some of you is, you came to church for the wrong reason, and so it doesn't count this morning at all. Because there's only one reason to open this blessed book and read it, to open this blessed book and study it, to come among God's people on a beautiful day when there's 10 bazillion things we could all rather do. It is because of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have absolutely no hesitation in my soul to tell you this morning, I love Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you? Can we tell? For the last time this morning, we're going to sing the monthly response chorus, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I pray that the singing this morning would be a reminder of the goal of all our Bible study, the goal of all our church ministry, teaching, preaching. The goal is knowing and growing in relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't just sit in the cabin. Don't shoot limbs off trees. Hunt. Father, this morning, thank you for a compelling word from thee. It flows out of the interaction between the Lord Jesus and the religionists. Help us this morning to be a responsive people to the word of God taught, beginning at the 10 o'clock hour this morning, beautifully taught in the 10 o'clock hour to children, to teens, and to adults in attendance. Thank you for those who are here now for the preaching and teaching of God's word. Take our hearts, our minds towards Christ. Make it personal, O God. Make it personal, because it is personal. This we do know. And may the expression of our soul, the expression of our heart, be right along the lines of our sweet singing this morning. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand.